All right, well, guys, we made it. Y'all survived. I don't know how many hours of sleep you got, but it's probably in the single digits. That's my assumption. For all of you adults, you probably wonder, like, what is a D now? This might be, apparently, this is like a Baptist thing, which I didn't know, because I know some Methodist churches that do them. And so I just want to, like, clarify what we do during D Now Weekend. It stands for Discipleship Now. So while church camps are often geared towards evangelism, Discipleship Nows are geared towards discipleship, right? And so this is a time where we all come together as a student ministry, and we have loved having Christ Point Methodist with us this weekend. We have combined our student ministries, and what we did is we had a time of worship, as you guys already saw with the band, a sermon series led by Mark Walvoord, who is the student director at Christ Point in Lyndale, and he did a fantastic job breaking down some extremely difficult topics that we face in our culture. And the Holy Spirit spoke through him, spoke to our students, and after the sermons, basically what happens is the students go back to a Marvin member's home. They graciously open up their home. They're there. They have two college group leaders or three college group leaders, just depending on group size. And they have their squad sessions. They have the small group time to where they digest the sermon. They talk about what God is doing, how God is speaking to them. And so that's really where D Now is at its best. That's what makes it so special, is you have that special time with each other to really be vulnerable and open up, because it's not always easy to do. Even as adults, we don't always do that well. And so that's what a D Now is. This is the culmination of it. They're here, and there's some people I want to thank to make this possible. My intern, Mill Walters, because I know you're like, yeah, I mean, guys, like, if Mill was not here, this week would not have been as fun. He has done a lot of things that there's just no way I could get to do all of them. And Mill has filled the gap. He's been a fantastic student intern. This is the third summer in a row, actually, he served as our intern. And so super grateful for him. So thank you, man, really. Brandy, Pastor Brandy, if you guys know Pastor Brandy, most of you I think in here do. Let me just say, she might have, do you think she lapped us twice in the amount of work that she did? I mean, Brandy is just unbelievable, guys. Like, the amount of work that she can do, I don't understand how she does it. Like, she is like the Energizer Bunny. And so she did so many things behind the scenes to make this whole weekend possible, along with the Marvin members here that open up their homes, our driving team that got students to and from the church in the homes, just all of these different pieces. Thank you guys so much for making this happen and for seeing this event grow this year. And so we're prayerful to see what God is going to do going forward. And so what I want to do is, before we start this sermon, I want to recap kind of what was talked about, because Mark had already preached three sermons, and I want to kind of give a brief overview of what we've talked about so you guys have some context into how we arrived at this sermon. So session one was called What Comes First. We talked about dealing with pride, right? Performance, acceptance, distractions. I think all of us can relate to that, right? None of us are distracted in modern America, right? There's just no distractions at all. The reality of it is we deal with this all the time. Like, it's inescapable. It is not common anymore. It's just routine. Probably the first thing all of us do when we wake up in the morning. Anybody? What's the first thing we do when we wake up? Grab your phone. Exactly. Grab your phone, right? And then grabbing your phone for 30 seconds to check your text messages turns into 30 minutes of looking at TikToks, right? And so that's just kind of the way our culture is now. And it's social media, just how busy life is. We get distracted. And sometimes we put things above Jesus. We make for ourselves idols. And so on Friday night, we talked about why Jesus has to come first in our life. In our next slide, which is going to be talking about session two, what I'm hiding, we talked about dealing with fear. We talked about approval and how we can love and be loved in our relationship with Jesus. And I think probably all of us have things we probably try to hide from Jesus, but we can't. He knows. He already knows. Maybe we try to hide things from each other and we don't open up. And we, you know, think that we're the only person struggling with something, and Satan loves to play the isolation card, making you think that you're the only person in the room that has this struggle and you can't tell anybody about it. You're gonna look terrible and you're gonna lose your reputation, right? I think all of us can relate to that. It's not just students, it's adults too. Our worth and identity come from Jesus. Jesus saw us at our worst. He bought us at our worst. And he's given us access to the abundant life. He wants us to have the abundant life. He does not want to see us settle for mediocre. Settle for culture, right? Just kind of getting by. In our next session, we talked about who we are. Who am I? It's a big identity topic, right? We talked about dealing with, man, our achievements. Like, man, we are our achievements and our abilities. How many people in here, maybe you put your identity in sports? Like, man, I'm just a great athlete. Well, what if you break your leg? What if you have a condition and you can't play sports anymore? Now what happens? Your identity is only as good as your ability to play that sport or to achieve. That's something we cannot let happen, because if that does happen, our identity is going to fail us, and we are going to feel lost, and we are going to feel confused. And that goes with everything else. That goes with our sexuality, our wealth, all these things that the world says, hey, this is who you are. Jesus says, no. If you are in Jesus, you're a new creation. And I love how Jonathan has already been throwing that into the students in worship. You're God's masterpiece, guys. This is who you are. He says in Ephesians 2:10 that you are his workmanship, but it's honestly just as accurate to say you are his masterpiece. Some translations say masterpiece because you have been uniquely and artistically created by God. You are the ultimate creation. And so, if our identity is anything but Christ, our identity is going to fail. And so, that is a recap of what we have talked about so far. And now we arrive to today, which I have, if you know me, I love puns. And you know that I love dad jokes and I like play on words. The title of this sermon is You Are What You Seek. You probably have heard the term You Are What You Eat. Kind of twisted that a little bit here, because there's a lot of truth to that saying. And so in verse 37, follow along with me here. Okay, well, I'm going to read this one more time. And I really like the way that the New King James renders this, because the NIV says, what do you want? The New King James says, what is it you seek? What are you looking for? And guys, that's a really important question to ask yourself. What is it in life that you are looking for? Everybody in life has something that they are looking for. That is not unique to anyone. And the answer to this question, you guys have to answer it amongst yourselves, tells you a lot about you. What you seek is what you have made your God, the thing that you seek above all else. If there is something above Jesus, then it is an idol. And Mark did such a great job this weekend highlighting that fact that all of us have idols. I am so guilty of this. You know, sometimes it's easy to think that, you know, being a student director, like, oh, we have to do all this great programming. We do all this stuff. This has to be just this way and this perfect. And I forget what it's about. Guys, what is church about? What is student ministry about? People. Well, yes, but main Jesus, right? It has to be about Jesus. If it's not about Jesus, something's missing here. So what is it in life that you're looking for? Is it fame? Is it wealth? Maybe it's pleasure. But there's nothing wrong with looking for purpose. Because that's the way God made us. He made us to look for purpose. Because he made us to follow him. And so I think it's very interesting that, I think this is where we need to start, students, adults. This is the best question, right? The disciples ask such a good question here. Jesus, where are you staying? It's an interesting question. They want to know where Jesus is because they want to be with Jesus. It's one thing, though, to ask the question. It's another thing to actually do it. It is one thing to ask the question, Jesus, where are you staying? And it's another thing to actually go be with him. Because you see, they didn't want to just be with Jesus. Read what it says at the end of verse 39. So they went and they saw where Jesus was staying, and they spent the day with him. The disciples did not just simply want to ask the question. They wanted the real thing. How many times do we as Christians say that we want to live the Christian life, but then we don't? I'm guilty of this. How many times do we say we want Jesus, but we're not willing to put in the time of what that means, the sacrifice that that requires? We want to say, yes, Jesus, you can be my savior, but Jesus, you can't be my Lord. You see, they stayed the entire day with him. And we can say whatever we want, students, adults, whoever's in here. But it's what we do that is ultimately going to answer the question of what we seek. Because, man, it's one thing. You guys hear this, talk is cheap. I don't know, what do you guys say? You're like on the field, like, yeah, coach, I'll change my swing. I'll do this thing different. All right, let's see it, right? If your coach told you something on the field, he told you to do something, right? You're doing something wrong and you say you're gonna do it, but you never do it. You're not gonna get better. That's kind of the same thing in the Christian life, is if Jesus tells us to do something, we should do it. That's sanctification. We're looking more like Jesus. We're doing less of the old, more of the new, right? And so Matthew chapter 6, 20, and verse 21 says this, and you guys have probably heard this verse many times. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The things that you treasure above all, that's what you worship. We talked a lot about this weekend that for many of us, it's sports. Maybe it's, we have our identity in our academics, or maybe it's, you know, something else. It could be anything. It can be adults, be jobs. I mean, we put our identity and our treasure in things that are going to be corrupted. We can't take them with us. So I had to ask the question, where do you want to be? You can say you want to be with Jesus and it not be true. We do those things all the time in our culture. Do you know the number of times I've told someone I'd pray for them and I didn't pray for them? I don't want Jesus to do a rewind of that when I'm in heaven, of how many times I've said that. It's easy to say something. It's an entirely different thing to do it. Because you see, a lot of us, students, adults, we kind of live our lives on survival mode. We do just enough to get by, because here in East Texas, it's easy to do that. We come to church on Sunday, right? Because we're supposed to. We throw a couple dollars in the offering plate because we're supposed to. We go serve here and there just to say we did it, just to kind of check the box, right? We do all this stuff Then we come to church on Christmas or just on Easter thinking that God's giving us extra brownie points for showing up on a holiday. It doesn't work like any of that. This is the thing of, you know, you guys have heard the passage where many have come to me and said, Lord, Lord, did I not do all these things in your name? Did I not go cast out demons? And then I will say to them, depart from me, for I never knew you. It's because the sin that they're committing is the sin of iniquity. It's the sin of self-will. It's look at what I did. Look at what I did, Jesus. And Jesus is like, you're missing it. It's not about you. It's about me. That's the reason those people in that passage missed heaven. It's not because, you know, if some of us read that passage and we're scared and we're like, oh man, like that might be me. I think if you're concerned about it, it's probably not you. I think that probably means the Holy Spirit is just keeping you in check. I would say if that's something that concerns you, that's a good sign. You don't want to be that person. But unfortunately, our culture tells us that that's okay. Because you see, guys, Jesus didn't design life for us just to get by. Some of us do that. Jesus didn't design our life just to check some boxes, go to work, go to school, come home, and that's it. Jesus didn't die so that you could survive. He died so that you could be alive. And how difficult it has been in Western evangelical Christianity to differentiate those two, because they are two very, very different things. It is possible to be saved and know Jesus, but not live a life of salvation. And that's the sad thing, is we get caught up with just doing things instead of experiencing Jesus, letting him be in our life, spending time with him, praying, reading our Bibles. I told 8:30 service, I'm going to tell the students and all you this too, I struggle with that. And I'm up here on stage teaching you. There are days where I can recall, even last week, where I was like, I'm not actually sure if I prayed today. Did I pray today other than my food? It's all of us. It's not just, I mean, it's every single one of us, myself included, that struggle with this. And so I want to challenge with this, is in finding Jesus, the disciples found probably way more than they ever expected. They didn't find wealth. They didn't find achievements. They didn't find, you know, like elite status in sports, right? They found the Messiah. They didn't find what life could offer. They found the one that could offer life. And so if you are in here today and you have just been crawling your way through life and you are just hanging by a thread, I know as a student director that that's, I mean, as a former student, obviously, I was a student once before. I know that's how life can be. You guys do like 18 things a day outside of school. You know, I've heard of some of your guys' schedules. I couldn't even imagine. Like, I wasn't even that busy. Or adults, you guys go home. You guys go and you work and you come home and your life is chaos. But if that's you in here today and you are just in survival mode, when we close in a few minutes, I encourage you to come to the altar. Man, give whatever it is in your life up to God. If there is something holding you back, if there is something preventing you from experiencing the abundant life, the life that Jesus offers, you're in the right place. This is the time to be vulnerable. Just like these students were this weekend having some conversations. We had conversations that lasted last night for over 2 hours in the small group discussion. That's a great thing, because the students will tell you there are some days where, how long do you think our discussions are, guys? 60 seconds, maybe? How about 120 minutes worth of discussion this weekend? All of us can be vulnerable. And we need to be. And I'm not, in this sermon, this 15, 20 minute sermon is not going to sum up what identity is. I can't possibly do that in one sermon, but I can tell you this. I know the person that has given me identity, and it's Jesus. Even though sometimes I forget who I am, I'm constantly reminded. And so I challenge adults, challenge students. What is it you're seeking? If there is something in your life that you were putting above God, I challenge you today to leave it here and to let it go. Leave it at the feet of Jesus. And you know, maybe this sermon would be better titled, "You Are Who You Seek." Because in this case, if we are seeking Jesus, we've got everything. The song we just sang, "You Are My Everything." Because if our identity isn't something that can change, well, then our identity can change. That's what it means to build your house on the sand. The sand moves, so your foundation's going to move with the sand. If you're lucky, it's probably just going to fall apart and crumble. But if our identity is in Jesus, he's the one that never changes. He's the rock. Our identity is secure. We can trust him, okay? And if you want that kind of love, if you want that kind of security, if you want that kind of life, Jesus offers that to you freely. You don't need to live, nor should you live, cultural Christianity. Because all it is we've taken the gospel, we've taken the Christian life, we've diluted it, we've made it look good. But man, it's missing a lot. And I'm so guilty of that. And if that's in you here today and you need to let something out, let's do it. Students, if you need to have another time of response, come to the altar just like we did this weekend. Jesus loves every single one of you, and he wants your life to be the most abundant life. But the only way that happens is if you and me put him front and center, at the top. There's no other way around it. But he is here right now, knocking on the door. And if you need to respond, now's that time. Let's pray. Lord, we are grateful for this church, for what you are doing in the people that make it up. And God, so many of us, particularly me of all, get caught up in the things that don't really matter. It's as Francis Chan famously said, Lord, that our greatest fear in life should not be a failure, but it's succeeding at all of the things in life that don't matter. And Lord, I pray right now that you would draw us to you. If there is someone in this room today that has never experienced your love, who has never experienced your presence, I pray that today would be the day of salvation. I pray if there is a Christian in this room that is struggling with identity, struggling with just barely trying to survive life, I pray that today would be the day of true victory, God, of freedom, of peace. Because God, we want to be where you are, just like your disciples. Draw us to your throne, Lord, in Jesus' name.